The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a message. Good morning. I have a question. We've been talking about this bread of life, and I'm just wondering if you've ever been hungry. Have you ever been hungry? Yes. Yeah? Have you ever been really super hungry? Have you ever gotten maybe grumpy because you were so hungry? No? Wow. That is a blessing to your family. So we know what it might be like to be hungry, but then sometimes, can you imagine then, what if you hadn't had food for just whatever would seem like a really long time for you, okay, and how, can you imagine how you would feel? Okay, let's see, what if you were really hungry and, would this help if I gave you these? How would the keys help? True. If you have a car, then you could drive somewhere. This is true. Come on forward. All right. Would a key fill you up, though? Would you eat keys? No. Okay. Well, let's see. How about if I gave you this candle? Go ahead and sit down. What do you think? Would this fill you up?
Yeah.
It smells really good. Do you eat candles regularly?
No.
No. Okay. That's good. It smells like bread, but it probably wouldn't help you not be hungry, would it? Okay, what about, how about if I gave you this card? It says, have a happy day.
Nope.
No? You probably wouldn't be very impressed with me if you told me you were hungry and I said, all right, have a happy day. Okay, then the hangry might come out. All right, what about this? What if I said, oh, you're hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah, would this maybe help you feel better?
Yeah, because we could eat it.
Because you could eat it, and it would fill you up. And I'm going to actually, I'll pass this around. You can have a little bit in a second. Okay, this is naan bread and from India. I don't know if I said that right, but it's a very much a flat bread, and it's something that people eat all the time in India, this type of bread. So we're trying that today for our bread. But Jesus is also talking about a different kind of being hungry. He's talking about being hungry for the Spirit. He says the Spirit is life. I am life. And so he's saying things about being hungry for love and peace and connection and hope in our families. And that's a hunger that not the keys and not the card and not the candle and not the bread will fill, but the Spirit of God is what fills that hunger. So I brought this cross with me to show that symbol of the Spirit of God filling us with that. And I also have a sticker for you that has Jesus with the bread. So just take one and pass it around. And with communion to say, you are loved and I am the bread of life. All right? So let's pray together. Okay? God of life, thank you for filling us with your spirit and love. Help us to be your hands and your heart for others. Amen. All right, and let's see. Could you two just pass around a little taste of bread for all of them? Oh, I'm going to have Kaylee and Caitlin do that part, okay? All right, thank you. You can get a little piece of bread. You can have some after worship, okay?
Okay.
All right. That was there in case somebody really didn't want bread. Just put it in the basket. We'll go ahead and start our video now.
The young adults that join this program, they're smart. You know, they've known in their head that they can't change the world, but they really actually still want to change the world. And it was really hard for Thad.
My name is Thad Tietze, and I served in Gudok Salish, Hungary. I was actually very much wanting to keep faith at an arm's length throughout the year. Faith very quickly just walked up and punched me in the gut. The community that I was serving and the congregation I was working with have a very different outlook on faith than what I had come from in my personal history. We learned to live with the differences and find ways to connect beyond the things that were dividing us.
Bevésődött annyira, mint a saját gyerekünk lett volna, és nagyon hiányzik.
International contacts are very important. Our culture is different, our tradition is different, but if we learn how people can express their faith under different circumstances, it can be a very enriching experience for all of us.
A typical day in Gudok Salish, I would have breakfast with my host family. I would walk 10 minutes to the children's house. I would play with them. We would have a meal together. We would have some sort of activity which would give them something they could create and be proud of.
He became, in a small way, part of a village and carries that village with him now.
I, throughout this, had really a wealth of time to myself and just simply with others that was unstructured that I had never experienced before. That all of a sudden just breathes new life into how you think about where your feet are positioned in the world and how that affects your perspective. The solitude also lends itself to each day kind of recommitting yourself to how will I use this day? Now that I'm back in the United States, you get so caught up in kind of the mundane little things and you don't step back and say, what are we actually doing here? That's why I think living in the village of about 250 people ended up being a beautiful part of the year. We were able to get to know each other, informed by all of these things that are happening around us, but we nonetheless were able to partition those things off and just focus on living our lives in that small piece of the earth.
We are all suffering in lots of different ways, and we're all in communities that are facing suffering, and somehow in the middle of that, Christ is raising us up to new life, not individually, but raising us up together. And that's how we keep moving forward.
Our story from the LCA today opens with this acknowledgement and this deep truth that the young adults who go on these global missions know up here that they can't change the world, but that they still here really want to. And isn't that a beautiful thing to see? And isn't that a part of the story of hope and the story of the heart of faith as well. We come to these scriptures, to this promise from God that there is bread for all, that there is life for all. And we know that what we see and what we experience and hear in this world does not always match up to this promise. And this promise for tomorrow is still there, and the Spirit is still calling. So way back a long time ago when I was in seminary, it feels like a long time ago, Peter Cheseth was one of my professors, and there will always be a special place in my heart for Peter, because on the first day of the first class that I had at seminary, he asked me how old I was in front of everyone, and I was the youngest by a lot, and he pointed out to all of them that I was his first student to be the same age as his grandchildren instead of his children. But he didn't say this with reluctance or with grief. He said it with kind of a joy and a pride, maybe that he'd made it that far. And then he joked that maybe it was time to retire, but he didn't for a very long time after that. He was a man who taught many, many years all kinds of different students. He led mission trips to Namibia every year for 40 years. He got into the depths of suffering, the dirt of injustice for the poor, and into the grace of living each day with the full knowledge up here of the grit of the world, and also the full knowledge here of the grace and the promise of the bread of life from Jesus. I learned a lot from Peter, from his classes, from traveling in Africa with him. And the thing that I learned from him the most is something that repeats in my head almost daily, and for sure every time I encounter the gospel and try to come with words that are relatable for you. At the start of any class with Peter, any morning with Peter, we would begin with singing. And we would sing, Jonah nobis pacem pacem, Jonah nobis pacem. And if you could get it into a full round, you would make his whole day. Those words in Latin, grant us peace, were what grounded the beginnings of our discussions. And from there, we would dive into any type of theological topic, conversation, even argument about what the scriptures meant for the people who were writing them and hearing them and what they mean for us today. And then at the end of every class, he would take a step back and he would bend very deeply from the waist and bow and say, and now, my friends, this is where we bow to the mystery of God. And we would go forth with that peace. In these final words of Jesus on the bread of life, and throughout the chapter of John's gospel here that we have read through the last several weeks, there is frankly a lot of mystery. Jesus doesn't actually make a whole lot of sense throughout this discourse, not to our ears and not to the ears of his disciples either. We hear them say, this teaching is difficult. It comes to a head in our scriptures and in these last verses where Jesus is not turning towards the past or being in the present, but he's firmly planting his disciples to face the future into a tomorrow that they cannot see and that they have no possible way to comprehend. And some of the followers have given up. Some have simply walked away. Some are probably still standing and pondering in confusion. Some only hear words of death and not life, and they turn to disbelief. And yet there is still Jesus, promising that there is more to the Spirit of God than we can see or hold. And there are words of confession right in the middle of this scripture. The 12 say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Right in the middle of the mystery, yes, we know you are God, and we come to this by the mystery of faith. Thad, in our video, he described trying to avoid faith, or at least keep the conversation at a distance, to keep what he was encountering in, from his experience and in his mind with this new community that he was in. And then he says that faith just came and punched him in the gut. And sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes avoidance leads to an abrupt change of perspective or reality, and realizing that you don't know what you don't know, but that you have a chance to pay attention and to be led by something, someone beyond yourself. That is the Spirit of God. And as Thad practiced faith, and as he kept walking with the people in their joys and in their suffering, he saw more than his own experience, and he saw into a community of the body of Christ, which is exactly where Jesus says this promise lives. Pastor Miriam Schmidt's words bear repeating. We are all living lives that face suffering, and we are all a part of communities that have suffering. And somehow, in the middle of all of that, Christ comes and raises us up to new life, not alone, but together, to new life. And that is how we keep moving forward. The bread of life is a sign, it is a necessity, it is a connection, and it is a sacrifice. And perhaps most of all, it is a tomorrow. God, Creator, God in Jesus, God as Spirit, brings this promise of grace and life even when we can't accept it, even when we can't hear it or see it or taste it or feel it. It is still there. We can analyze every word. We can dissect every nuance in the language of Scripture and in the meaning for the people of John's time and in the meaning for us today. And still we come to this promise that God comes to us in every place of brokenness and in every place of hope and peace, and gives us a story to claim as our own, that we are God's children. We are promised to be part of this bread of life from the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, to the end of the tomorrows that we cannot see or fathom. In all that we hope for and in all the places that we too long to change the world, we will step by step in hope come to the table, gather around the font, and hear again and again the promise that Jesus raises us together to new life. And in that, my friends, we lean into the Spirit and take a step back and bow to the mystery as we go forth with the assurance of peace. Amen.